to a store. Would you turn with me to the book of Proverbs, chapter 24? Proverbs chapter 24. Let's pray together. Lord, I ask that you would bless this time in your word. I pray that you would give us practical truth. Thank you, Lord, for the practical truth that you give us in your word, that everything isn't just high and lofty, but so much advice that you give us is just practical. Thank you for the wisdom that you make available to us concerning any issue in life. And I ask, Lord, that we would follow your advice. That we would be those who know what you expect and diligently obey the word that you bring to us. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Ray Jones used to tell people to take $1 and hold it in one of their hands and then listen to that dollar speak to you. And if that dollar could speak, that dollar would say, "You hold me in your hand and call me yours. Yet may I not as well call you mine? See how easily I rule you. To gain me, you would all but die. I am invaluable as rain, essential as water. Without me, men and institutions would die. Yet, I do not hold the power of life for them. I am futile without the stamp of your desire. I go nowhere unless you send me. I keep strange company. For me, men mock, love, and scorn character. Yet, I'm appointed to the service of saints to give education to the growing mind and food to the starving bodies of the poor. My power is terrific. Handle me carefully and wisely, lest you become my servant rather than I yours." One of the most important things that we have to learn in life as Christians is how to handle money wisely. We have to understand, we have to learn how to rule money, not to let money rule us. And you know, as Americans, there's a lot of dollars that pass through our hands in our lifetimes. For example, if a person makes, on average, $40,000 a year, beginning at the age of 22, all the way through 65, guess how much money passes through that person's hands? $1.68 million. Now, that's before taxes. So, if you take taxes into account, it's less. But it's still a lot of money. And so, it's very important that we learn how to be wise with money. Now, last time in Proverbs, I told you that money or wealth is one of the most prevalent subjects in the book of Proverbs. Solomon has much to say in this book about gaining money and managing money. We have a resource in our hands that is absolutely amazing. Wisdom from heaven concerning financial management. I found six principles in the book of Proverbs concerning money that take a lot of space in Proverbs. And so what I'd like to do is briefly look at two principles a week for the next 3 weeks. Just solid principles that we can get our hands around and hopefully understand and obey. And the first two principles I find in our text this morning, Proverbs chapter 24, and look at verse 30. Solomon says, I went by the field of the lazy man, and by the vineyard of the man devoid of understanding. And there it was, all overgrown with thorns. Its surface was covered with nettles. Its stone wall was broken down. When I saw it, I considered it well. I looked on it and received instruction. A little sleep, a little slumber, a little folding of the hands to rest. So shall your poverty come like a prowler, and your need like an armed man. So here Solomon sees the field of a lazy man, and the NIV calls this man a sluggard. And this man is supposed to be tending his fields. But he's not. It's all overgrown with thorns. Its surface is covered with nettles. This man is supposed to be tending his vineyard. But the protective stone wall around the vineyard is falling apart. He hasn't kept that up. And so there is no fruit. There are no grapes. There are no crops. This man is headed towards financial ruin. This man is headed towards poverty. Why? Because he's a lazy man. He sleeps in too much. Too many afternoon siestas. And poverty comes his way. And that brings you to a principle that you see repeated over and over again in the book of Proverbs in different ways. And here it is. Money must be earned with hard, honest work. Money must be earned with hard, honest work. And let me emphasize the first part of that principle. Money must be earned with hard work. If you are a lazy person, don't expect to make a whole lot of money. In order to make money, you have to work hard. You have to labor. If it's a physical occupation or a mental occupation, you have got to work hard. You've got to be diligent. The book of Proverbs clearly teaches that laziness is the pathway to financial ruin. Laziness will lead that direction. Think of everything that it does. Laziness leads to sloppy work, like the work in this passage by this farmer. Sloppy work is not rewarded. The lazy employee does not impress the employer. In fact, Proverbs chapter 10, verse 26 says, as vinegar to the teeth and smoke to the eyes, so is the sluggard to those who send him. Lazy people destroy businesses and enterprises. In fact, it says in Proverbs chapter 18, he who is slothful in his work is a brother to him who is a great destroyer. So, the lazy person doesn't keep jobs very long. They get fired all the time. Listen to other things that laziness leads to according to Proverbs 19. Laziness casts one into a deep sleep, and an idle person will suffer hunger. Proverbs chapter 12, verse 24. The hand of the diligent will rule, but the lazy man will be put to forced labor. Proverbs 13, verse 4. The soul of a lazy man desires and has nothing, but the soul of the diligent shall be made rich. Proverbs 20:13. Do not love sleep, lest you come to poverty. Open your eyes, and you will be satisfied with bread. You take all that into consideration, and Solomon says this is where laziness leads. It leads to poverty, it leads to hunger, it leads to depression. It leads to unfulfilled dreams and desires. It leads to forced labor. The lazy person will very seldom rise to a place of responsibility or leadership. Laziness leads to ruin. Now, on the flip side, the hardworking, diligent person receives the opposite of that. That person is well taken care of. That person's family is well taken care of. That person has dreams that are realized. The hardworking, diligent person will very often rise to new positions of leadership and responsibility because that person is hardworking. Now, I know I'm speaking in generalities here. There are times when hard-working, good people go through economic struggles and economic hardships. And I know many folks, even in our fellowship, that are struggling in this very, very difficult economy. And that doesn't necessarily have to be because of your laziness, but things are out of control and things have happened to you. But listen, I believe that the hard-working person will pull themselves out. They'll keep at it. They'll keep fighting. And if they are working for the glory of the Lord is going to come through. Just hang tight. But if it's because of laziness, then that's your fault. Also, Proverbs doesn't necessarily promise that if you work hard, you're going to become a billionaire. Remember, as we spoke of a couple weeks ago in Proverbs, that's not why we as Christians are supposed to work. We're not supposed to work just to get rich. We're not supposed to work just to become a millionaire. We're supposed to work to take care of the needs of our family, and God will build the wealth. But that general principle is true. Hard work must. It's only through hard work that money can and should be earned. And here's the other deal about working hard. It does give you satisfaction. There's something satisfying to having a job to do, working very hard at it, watching things happen, and then being blessed and being able to eat of the fruit of your labor. In fact, Solomon wrote the book of Ecclesiastes. And at the end of his life, looking back, he says, I know that nothing is better for them than to rejoice and to do good in their lives, and also that every man should eat and drink and enjoy the good of all his labor. It is the gift of God. So just like that older guy would say on that TV commercial many years ago, you remember? We make money the old-fashioned way. We earn it. We work hard. We are to be diligent. It is a mandate for Christians in the Old Testament. It's a mandate for Christian in the New Testament. Paul the Apostle said, for we hear that there are some who walk among you in a disorderly manner, not working at all, but are busybodies. Now those who are such, we command and exhort through our Lord Jesus Christ that they work in quietness and eat their own bread. Paul in 1 Timothy chapter 5, verse 8 says, if anyone does not provide for his own and especially for those of his household, he's denied the faith and is worse than an unbeliever. Now there's no good excuse to be lazy. And some Christians use excuses to be lazy. I know some Christians who think that work is a result of our fall into sin. We're cursed with work because we fell into sin. That's not true at all. Adam and Eve were workers before the fall. We are created in the image of God, and God's a worker. We are to work. The result of the fall is that work just became a whole lot more frustrating. But we should work. Some Christians sort of think that their secular work doesn't matter. They don't have to be really on in their secular work. It's no big deal. And so then you have some Christians that go to work and they don't do what they're supposed to do, and they'll sit there and read their Bible all day long. Or memorize verses. Uh-uh. Scripture says that we should do everything that we do in life as unto the Lord. Your real boss is always Jesus. And you are to work hard for Him in every area and do a good job. Some people are lazy out of fear. Proverbs chapter 22, verse 13 says, "The lazy man says, 'There's a lion outside. I shall be slain in the streets.'" I saw a lot of people that they're not going to go out and work because they're afraid. They're afraid of what might happen. Go out and work. Money is earned through hard work. One person said that there are two kinds of people: those who do the work and those who take the credit. Try to be in the first group. There's less competition there. Earn money with hard work. Now let me emphasize the second part of that. Earn money with honest work. Honest work. Obviously, we as Christians should avoid all forms of unethical, deceitful employment. We should never earn money by ripping people off. It says in the book of Proverbs, "Diverse weights and diverse measures, they are both alike an abomination to the Lord." If you're cheating anybody in your business, that is an abomination to the Lord. "Bread gained by deceit is sweet to a man, but afterward his mouth will be filled with gravel." Proverbs 13:11. "Wealth gained by dishonesty will be diminished, but he who gathers by labor will increase." So as Christians, we're to work hard, but we're to work hard ethically. Our businesses are to be above board. We are not to be ripping people off. Obviously, as Christians, we should also avoid making money off any kinds of immorality. A Christian should not make money as a drug dealer or a pimp. We should be engaged in that activity that is good before the Lord. And then I would also say, as Christians, we should avoid frivolous jobs, frivolous kinds of employments. And what do I mean by that? Well, you might make note of this, but Proverbs chapter 12, verse 11, key verse, it says, "He who tills his land will be satisfied with bread, but he who follows frivolity is devoid of understanding." You know what frivolity means? It's the Hebrew word. It means emptiness, vanity, things that are worthless. In other words, don't gain money in these frivolous things. In other words, avoid all those easy money schemes. Avoid all of those get rich quick schemes. You know, you're going to see a lot of them on TV late at night. "Buy our system and we'll make you a millionaire in 2 months." You know who's making money off that? The people that are putting those commercials on, from all of the gullible people buying their products. And to be involved in that get-rich scheme. And then what about all the too good to be true investments? You know what too good to be true investments are? Too good to be true. Quick money, quick schemes. Get honest, good employment. I know a young man who thinks he can take care of his wife and their children by playing internet poker. That's what he wants to do. Internet poker full time. "I can do it. I can beat the odds." Frivolity, worthlessness. Don't sit around waiting for the next product that you can buy, the stupid products that you guys remember the Pet Rock Many years ago, Christmas, the pet rock. How many of you got one? No, don't raise your hand. I don't want to laugh at you. Don't wait around for products like that and think of, hey, let me come up with the next pet rock I can sell people. There's no real satisfaction in that, other than laughing at stupid people, I guess. That would be kind of a funny thing to do. Find real work. Find honest work. Listen, according to the book of Proverbs, there's no shortcuts. There's no quick fix. You've got to work it. You've got to build it. Zig Ziglar tells of visiting the Washington Monument. And as he and his party approached the monument, he heard a guide announcing loudly that there would be a 2-hour wait to ride the elevator to the top of the monument. However, with a smile on his face, the guide then said, "There's no waiting to go to the top if you're willing to take the stairs." There's no substitute for good, hard work. Don't wait around for your lottery ticket. Work hard. You need to find honest work. What is honest work? Well, I think honest work is services that provide a real need to other people. Real solid stuff. I think honest work for you would be something that you can have a passion about. You're going to do it a lot, so you might as well be passionate about what you're doing. And I think honest work is having a skill or an expertise or something that you can offer people. A trade, perhaps requiring education or training. Find honest work and then work hard at it. That's how money is earned. Now, there's another principle that I think you see in this passage, and it's pretty straightforward. I think Solomon is saying, we must take very good care of the things that we possess. We should be those that are very careful with what we buy, and then we take care of the things that we buy. Now again, in this passage, this farmer had a field. It says, "I went by the field of a lazy man." So that field belonged to that farmer. That farmer had a vineyard. That farmer had a wall around his vineyard. But he's let all that go. He hasn't kept that in good, proper working condition. And that's going to cost him a lot. He's not taking care of his stuff. The book of Proverbs, Solomon repeats a few times that a person should take care and take great care of the things that they possess. In Proverbs chapter 12, verse 10, Solomon says, "A righteous man regards the life of his animal, but the tender mercies of the wicked are cruel." Now, that's saying that we should take care of animals and we should respect the lives of animals. But remember what animals were in the days of Solomon. They were the tractors. It was the transportation. It was the workhorse, right? And Solomon would say oftentimes, take care of your animals. Make sure that they're well fed. Make sure that they're rested. That will make you more productive. That will make them more productive. And you know what? I just see that in Proverbs. Take care of the stuff that you have. How much money do you think you've wasted over your lifetime not taking care of the stuff that you've already purchased? Has it been a lot? Man, I was so naive when Kim and I bought our first house. We bought a brand new house. It was just built. It was the first on the street. And we thought, that's a brand new house. We're not going to have to worry about that for 30 years. It's brand new. Nothing's going to break. Our second night sleeping, we heard the shingles of our roof go flying. And I thought, wait a minute, that's new. If you have purchased a house, the work has just begun for you, right? But do you just let it fall apart? Look what that does to the value of your house if you do that. Look at the money that's wasted. How about the automobiles? What happens if you don't put oil in your car? It's going to blow up. So the issue here is being very, very cautious, taking very good care of the things that you have, and also perhaps repairing some things that break down in the house. Have you ever thought about that? When something breaks, repair it rather than go buy a new one? You know, we had a brother here at the church a year and a half ago. Well, he was with us for many years, and some of you probably remember him. He's with the Lord now. But his name was Terry Wesson, and he was the ultimate repairman. I mean, we called him Doc. He could just do what, you could give him anything and he would repair it. That was his business, repairing. But his business started really declining. He wasn't getting much business anymore because people don't repair stuff anymore. They just throw it away and go get something new. And the question would be, how much money could you save if you actually took some time to look into something and to repair it? A man explained why he bought his new car. He said, I quote, "I was faced with the choice of buying a $32 battery for my old car or an $8,000 car, and they wanted cash for the battery." We laugh at something like that, and maybe none of us have ever done anything that silly, but have you ever done something like it? How much money could we save? How wise could we be with finances if we really took care of the things that are in our possession and if we took time to repair? Great advice. That actually brings up another larger issue, though. Did you know as Christians, we really are to see ourselves simply as stewards? You know what a steward is? A steward is somebody who basically takes care of other people's stuff. Like the stewards in the parables that Jesus told in the New Testament. They were the managers of the house. They were the head servants of the house. The owner owned all things, but the manager was in charge and took care of all that stuff. As Christians, we are stewards. God is the owner. We are the stewards. John Wesley said, "When the possessor of heaven and earth brought you into being and placed you in this world, he placed you here not as owner, but as a steward." Everything you have, think about it, has come from God. Your talents, your education, your economic potential. All of that's come from the Lord. And you need to see it like that. You need to recognize that. And understand that you need to take care and be a good steward of all of God's stuff. It's His. And that will help us, I think, in becoming much better stewards. And it will bless our life, and according to Proverbs, it will save a lot of money. I love the fable that's told of a rich man who wanted to help a poor man. And so the rich man hired the poor man to build a house on the hillside and went away on a long journey. This poor carpenter said to himself, "My boss is away, and I can use cheap materials for the parts of the house which will not show. The house will be weak and undesirable, but nobody will know except me." But when the rich man returned, he said, "The house is not for me, it's for you." The carpenter accepted the key in astonishment. Instead of a first-class home, he had a fourth-class home. God gives us a job, a life to build. We have to live in the house we build. If we do a shoddy job, we cheat one person, ourselves. Very, very good, practical information that all of us have probably heard from time to time. Money is to be earned with hard, honest
work.
And then take good care of the stuff that God has placed in your possession. Amen? Let's close. Lord, I do thank you that you are interested in every single area of our lives. And we know, Lord, that money is a huge issue in our lives. We have to have money in order to live, and you know that. Thank you for the guidelines you give us. Lord, for those that need to step it up a little bit, maybe in the work department, I pray that they would do so. And I pray, Lord, that as they make a commitment to really put in that extra time and work hard, that they would see your providential blessing fall upon them. Lord, I want to pray for those here this morning who are strong, good servants of yours and yet are going through very difficult times financially, not due to their own laziness, but due to certain circumstances. Father, I pray that you would continue to give them new opportunities, lift them up, care for their needs. Help them hang on. Lord, we know you're doing a great work in our lives no matter what it is. And even if it's difficult, we can trust that you are doing what's good. I pray that you would open up doors and opportunities. And then, Lord, help us to remember and think of this often, that we are not the owners, you are. It's so much better knowing that you are in charge. So we yield ourselves again to you. We surrender our lives to you. Everything that you have, everything that we have, we know has come from you, and we just give it back to you. In Jesus' name, amen. Sam.